the left has to use the whole Russia hoax thing. Why? What's the general conception? It's, well, it's just a hangover from the Cold War era. That's pretty much been the perspective. I think I'm correct on that. You know, the Clintonites and so forth, you know, they've got this hankering for the 80s and 90s, and this is the old dog, new trick. That could be part of it. But I think the real reason is because at the highest level, above the fray, this is what St. Paul calls a war between the principalities and dominion. It's a spiritual war. All of these buggers are into the occult in some capacity. Or they're devout Christians and they recognize who is in the occult. This is why you see this weird confluence. Guys like Jack Posobiec, who's a big player in the game. He seems to be a genuine Catholic. You guys like Mike Lindell, who basically thinks he's some sort of, I don't know. What is he? John the Baptist in his own mind? I have no idea, but clearly he's part of this weird QAnon weirdness, which is basically occult. Why is a guy like Steve Bannon playing with that? Why is there an insistence on the left that they demonize Russia? Because they have to delegitimize the goals of the traditionalists. The traditionalists are the real players behind the scene right now that nobody is talking about. People are talking about them in the sort of right-wing, alt-right masculinity world, which I kind of dabble in there to see what they're thinking, because they're not dumb. They've been saying this stuff for about a year and a half, and no one took them seriously. Why? Because you see here the foresight from these left-wing outlets like Vanity Fair in 2018, making it seem like Russia is some sort of warmongering, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they're not. Putin's Russia is heavily influenced by the political philosophy of Alexander Dugin, who is a traditionalist par excellence. He practices a mix of what's called Rodnovery. If you don't know what that is, it's an ancient shamanic pagan Russian practice. Ultimately, it's occult, but you know, we'll call it pagan for occult and pagan are technically different, in fairness. Occult is, in the way we understand it, is a relatively modern thing. But nonetheless, the gods of the nations are devils, as the Bible tells. It's not Freemasonic, but it has the same sulfuric smell to it. Okay? But it's different. It's not Illuminati. Illuminati wants to separate to get rid of all of the borders. If you read the desires of the Illuminati, they want to get rid of all the thrones and altars. The traditionalists do not want to do that. In fact, the traditionalists are not that much different than the types of Freemasons who were at the beginning of the American founding. If you look into the Freemasons that were at the beginning of the American founding, I've got a book that I'm about a third done, and hopefully I'll finish it one time early next year. I don't know. I'm so busy. And it was inspired by this idea somebody gave me to write something about the 10 dangers of the Illuminati. Well, I had to look into the Freemasons that formed America, that were, not all of them were, but that were there at the forming of America, and I had to compare them to the Freemasons that went on that formed in continental Europe under Adam Weishaupt. They were very different. Now, we should not, this should not be unexpected, because there is no, you know, just like the old expression, there's no honor among thieves. We can't expect those inspired by pagan principles to have any continuity with one another, because the demons don't have any continuity with one another. It's pretty simple. That's one of the biggest tricks of the devil as well, as he wants us to believe that his minions are a united front. They're not. They hate each other as much as they hate anything else, because they can't love, they can't be virtuous, they can't be loyal. Okay. Anyway, so the article continues, and it says, for years, Moscow has waged a covert campaign to disrupt democratic institutions in Europe and the United States. This isn't really true, but they need you to believe this. Propped up abhorrent regimes in the Middle East and thwarted U.S. diplomatic efforts around the world, China has quickly become a muscular economic power seeking to protect its influences across Asia and into Africa. Blah, 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 blah. For Bannon, China and the former Ottoman Empire, as he calls it, are civilizational threats. Like many nationalists, Bannon sees in arch-conservative Russia a traditionalist, ethically white ally. They throw the word traditionalist in there because they think that you believe, when you read this, they think that you'll believe that they mean traditionally Christian. That's not what it is. It's traditionalist in the political sense. Bannon, who has spent the year, this is 2018, since his eviction from the White House supporting proto-fascist movements throughout Europe, They have to label these traditionalist movements as proto-fascist, which in a sense they kind of are, but that's a whole other ball of wax. Neatly elucidated the importance of this alliance in a 2014 talk at the Vatican. Traditionalists, quote unquote, believe that that at least Putin is standing up for traditional institutions and he's trying to do it in a form of nationalism. And I think that people, particularly in certain countries, want to see the sovereignty for their country. They want to see nationalism for their country. He explained during a question and answer session following his speech. They don't believe in this kind of pan-European Union, or they don't believe in the centralized government in the United States. They'd rather see more of a states-based entity that the founders originally set up, where freedoms were controlled at the local level. What did I say? This sounds like the Freemasonry of the founders. The Judeo-Christian West, he concluded, really have to look at what he's talking about as far as traditionalism goes, particularly the sense of where it supports the underpinnings of nationalism. And I happen to think the individual sovereignty of a country is a good thing and a strong thing. I think strong countries are strong nationalist movements, and Western countries make strong neighbors. And that is really the building blocks that built Western Europe and the United States, and I think it's what can see us forward. What are the errors in here, class? And how is this confused? Has he defined traditionalism in any of these words? Has Vanity Fair defined traditionalism in any of these words? No. The right-wing traditionalists, and we're not talking about Catholicism, the traditionalists in the political sense, a la Alexander Dugin, Russian Orthodox / pagan Rodnovery shamanic ritual, was it the Fourth Political Revolution or something? I can't remember what the title of his book is. Anyway. The point is, they want you to associate traditionalism with traditional values. And they do mean traditional values, but they mean them to the root. Antiquated pagan traditional values. They're not atheists. They're not atheists at all. But they're also not traditional Catholics. Or traditional Christians in any capacity. They support traditional Catholicism if that's your ethnic background. They support traditional Hinduism if that's your ethnic background. They support traditional Eastern Orthodoxy if that's your ethnic background, and so on and so forth. To be honest, they probably support traditional Freemasonry if that's your ethnic background in an American sense. He also says, traditionalist, what did he say here? He says traditionalism is part of the building blocks that built Western Europe and the United States. That's not true. Christianity built Western world. Catholicism. He does not mention Catholicism in it, but he uses this term traditionalism because it's interchangeable. This article is not incorrect. It's just written from a leftist perspective. So what does this have to do with Putin? Well, Vladimir Putin in the eyes of the traditionalists, Bolsonaro in Brazil in the eyes of traditionalists, Donald Trump in the eyes of traditionalists, they represent, probably Viktor Orban, I don't know, I got to look more into that, but they represent to them basically demigod emperors who have some sort of divine spark behind them. And they're men who are part of an age of a clash of spiritual empires. When you listen to these folks that are part of this right-wing pagan movement, the traditional movement, traditionalist movement, they're very into spiritualism. One of the most famous guys, his name is Bronze Age Pervert. He's got an interesting outlook on things. And he talks, not jokingly, he talks about why he likes to live in Brazil over why he likes to live in... He's actually American, but he uses a Russian accent on the show, so he can't be doxxed. Why he likes to live in Brazil over why he likes to live in the United States. And he said, the spirits are more... I listened to him on one of the shows, and he said, the spirits are more joyful in Brazil. He says that the ancient pagan spirits here in Brazil are more joyful. They're more, they have a more of a zest for life, he said, versus the ancient pagan spirits in the northeast United States, where I'm assuming it came from, were more sad. That's literally what this guy said. It's not a joke. If you want to understand this whole Steve Bannon thing and why he's able to unite so many different folks on the right, Steve Bannon is also not very talented as a radio host. I mean that. He's not that talented. I mean, you listen to him talk. I mean, he's not an idiot by any means, but he doesn't have a great voice. And I'm not saying this because I'm saying, I wish I was like Steve. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, how is it that this guy, he's not the most handsome man in the world. He doesn't have this great Rush Limbaugh radio presence. How does he find himself as a mega millionaire? He's got money no one knows about. How does he find himself able to just sort of rise through these institutions and at the heart of these political battles where he's speaking at the Vatican, he's making friends with Putin, he's making friends with Bolsonaro, he's making friends with Donald Trump. He's one of the most important political actors on earth. All LARPing and, you know, cringe, whatever aside, this is true. I think we have been so disenfranchised by what the left has done over the whole Russia hoax that we've disregarded all of their claims about Russia being some sort of important political actor, that I think the reasoning for that on behalf of the left was because they wanted to obfuscate our ability to see how these traditionalists view this clash of empires. And this is why they all are uniting, in a sense, against China. But you'll see even there, it's a nationalist clash of the warring traditionalists. And just like the ancient pagans, they make very consequentialist unifications with one another. But one other thing that's very interesting at this, in this whole traditionalist movement, is there is a big emphasis on masculinity and personal virtue. It's very strange. And I think there's actually a reason why this is kind of a good thing. And now, before all the rad trads freak out at me for saying that, I'm going to give you a little bit of historical context. Evangelizing an atheistic world is almost impossible. Okay? Because an atheistic world is one wherein people deny basic first principles of existence. They deny creativity. They deny free will. They deny anything metaphysical. That's ultimate atheistic materialism. Pagans don't do that. Why is it? There was obviously violence, but why is it that a bunch of unarmed priests could come over to the New World and have this whole place, virtually this whole place, baptized within like 50 years? Because they were pagans. Because they believed. And Charles Coulomb, friend of the show, he gets crap for this all the time from traditionalists because he'll go and talk to all these people that are into these weird occult things. They're like, oh, Charles Coulomb is dabbling the occult. No. He knows that they believe that there is a thin veil between the real and the uncanny. Which we believe as Catholics, we just see it properly. We know that there are angels and there's a spiritual battle literally in the same room with us, in a sense. We know this.